Title of our lesson today is Vaporized. Well, Hophni and Phinehas weren't quite vaporized, but I'll show you where we get that from in what Jerry just read. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor. You know how a vapor is. If you've ever seen maybe off of a tower of some kind of industrial tower, you'll see a cloud that goes up. And sometimes that cloud will remain, but other times it's like you see it and then it's gone. What was seemed to be substantial just isn't there anymore. And this is the idea that the Lord is bringing out through His servant James, that life is like a vapor. It's here, seems to be there, everybody sees it, and then boom, it's gone. And we don't know what will happen tomorrow. We don't know. We can't say, as these men, we'll be in such a city for a year and we'll buy and sell and get gain. Who knows what our lives will be like a year from now? I thank God in a lot of ways that my life has changed through the process of sanctification as I look through year by year and see how the Lord has pulled me out, brought me out of the world from the day of my conversion, and how He has begun to set me aside for His work. And so as I look at it year by year, I see changes that I wouldn't imagine. That's a positive way to look at it. A negative way from a human perspective is that we may not be here next year. We might be 6 feet under with the grass growing up, hopefully. We don't know. We don't know what will happen to us in a year's time. And that's why it's important for us to always have the perspective, that perspective of wisdom, which says we see things through God's perspective. And if our life is wrapped around God and His Word and His ways, then no matter what happens to us in life, we don't need to be afraid. Because we know it is the Lord's will. And God has no pleasure in the punishment of the wicked. As we look in at the story here of Hophni and Phinehas and see what happened to them, we say, oh, God is a severe God. How did He allow that to happen? What happened to Eli and what happened to that whole situation? Oh, that's not true. God has no pleasure in punishing the wicked. Remember the scripture, it says, for God so loved the world. The same world that He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. He's talking about the same world. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. See, He has provided a solution to the problem. He wants so much for us to be saved. He wants so much for us to be reconciled. It is not His will. But like a sore, an infection, in the old days, when they didn't know how to treat with antibiotics and so forth, if you had a limb that started to become infected and pus and the infection started to build up and that red line started to go up the arm, what was their choice? They had to cut it off. Because they knew if they didn't cut that limb off, that it would take over the whole body. And then that person would perish. And so God knows that He needs to cut off the wickedness. And this is what we're seeing in this story today. The necessity to cut the wickedness off. So, last week, Pastor talked about Hophni and Phinehas and what their evil ways were, and how that they did not respect God's sacrifice. Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation. This is what the man of God that came to Eli was saying to him. They did not respect God's sacrifice. Even those that came desiring to give that sacrifice to God, Hophni and Phinehas would say, "We'll take it by force. If you won't give it to us, we'll take it by force. You better do it or you're going to get beaten up," basically is what they're saying. "We're going to manhandle you." And their other behavior proved that out too. They lay with the women. And they corrupted the sanctuary that way as well. Imagine, that's such a terrible thing that these men would corrupt this area through this fornication. And that was wicked. It was evil. It was not according to God's way. He polluted God's sanctuary, polluted His temple. Well, there was a judgment that came down because of that. And so, our first point, we will write, God pronounced a judgment, and He had a timetable. And He set the timetable in motion. He started the clock. So our first point is the ticking. You ever heard a stopwatch start and stop at the beginning and the end of an event? Well, that's kind of like God just started that stopwatch. Once He pronounced the judgment upon Eli and his sons, He started the ticking. And there was a timetable. Whose timetable? God's timetable. That's right. We just read in James about how that these people that said, "We will go into such a city and continue there a year," that was their timetable, wasn't it? This is God's timetable. And what God says will happen because He is the Lord. He is in control. So God has a timetable in this particular event. He has pronounced a judgment upon Hophni and Phinehas. So let's just put their names down here. Who can think of a judgment that God has made on a man or a city in the Bible? He said He was going to destroy a city, and God turned away from His plan. Greg, what do you got? Nineveh. That's right. So it's interesting, as we talk about a timetable and God's timetable and how He sets things in motion, sometimes the Lord will hear a repentant heart or a repentant community, and He'll stop the clock. So it's not to say that once God has made a judgment that nothing can be done. Because God will hear the hearts of men. Remember, He gave us that crown of reason. He gave us that understanding. He's given us a heart. He wants to commune with us. He wants to communicate with us. But when we become stubborn and obstinate in our own ways and decide to kick against the goad, so to say, as He said to Paul, "Paul, Paul, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute? Why do you kick against the goads, the pricks? Why do you go against me?" But if we hear God's word and repent, God will say, okay, stop the time bomb. I'll give you another chance. So it's not to say that it can't be turned around. But God will sometimes set that little watch a-ticking. And unless there is repentance involved, what if Hophni and Phinehas realized that their lives were as a vapor, vanishing? What if they would have went down on, just fell to the ground and wept before the Lord and repented? Don't you think that God would have looked upon that and preserved their life? Maybe. I think the judgment would have changed at least. He would have looked, the severity of it wouldn't have been so great. But in this case, Hophni and Phinehas were hardened. They stuck to their ways, just like Pharaoh, and they would not change. They were a big pusball. I mean, they were just evil, wicked, through and through. There was no good that was left there. And so God has a timetable. And He set the clock a-ticking. And that'll be our next point here, the ticking. If you set a timer like we do on our microwave at home, and you set it for 15 minutes, in 15 minutes, our microwave will go beep every time. It'll happen every time. It's a great tool. You should use it. Go lie down on your bed. And I go over and set the timer for 15 minutes. When you hear the beep, come and talk to me. I love that tool. I love my microwave. Because it's a timetable. It's something I can use to make things happen in a way that works. God also has a ticking, if you will, microwave, where He's set the time on Hophni and Phinehas. Nobody knows about it. Nobody knows. Nobody's even thinking about it. Because if you look in the scripture here, when the Lord talks to Samuel, what does the Lord say? And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth shall tingle. What does that mean? I will do a thing that will set everybody in a position of astonishment. They won't believe what they have heard. But God has already stated it. Samuel is hearing about it. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. What did he speak concerning his house? This is what he spoke. He said, wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever, but now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, and there shall not be an old man in thy house. And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation and in all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thine house forever. And he continues on. So here's the judgment that God is saying He's going to carry out. Let's move to our next point. The tragedy. You remember the story? The Philistines, located along the Mediterranean Sea. So from your side, let's see, from my side. So from your side, it would be like this. Along the Mediterranean Sea, down here where it's right towards the bottom where the Mediterranean starts curving down towards Egypt and Alexandria area. down there at the bottom is the area where the Philistines stay, right along the shore of the Mediterranean. The Philistines in the scripture have always represented evil and sin. And Israel fighting against the Philistines. Remember the story of Samson with Delilah. That was all about the Philistines. And how Samson was taken over by the temptation of Delilah. And how his power from God was taken away because he did not hold God in high regard in comparison with his sin. Until he repented. Until he cried out to God, and then God gave him strength one more time to push that whole building over that he was chained to. And then the destruction that came upon, the judgment that came upon the Philistines was greater than all of the judgments that Samson had done in his whole lifetime because of that one occurrence. But the Philistines kind of represent sin and overcoming sin in Israel's, in take the subject of Israel and the Philistines, and Israel needed to fight against the Philistines, the sin. Now the Philistines were going to be used as a tool once again. God has a way of taking everything and using it for his good. The Lord is Lord over all. He's able to take the wicked for the day of evil. He's able to use everything for his good purpose. And here, he allows the power of the Philistines to grow and to give them courage. They are afraid. The Philistines are afraid of the Ark of God because the Israelites have said, let's bring the Ark out there to fight our battle. God has not failed us with the Ark. And so this time they have Hophni and Phinehas go out there with the Ark to walk before them in the battle. And what do the Philistines say? Oh no, they have the Ark of God. Quit yourselves like men. We have to go really after this. So it had just the opposite effect on them. Rather than for them to go running and to run away, they realized they really needed to go after this because otherwise they were going to be defeated. It had the opposite effect. It brought a catalyst upon them that actually gave them more strength because they knew that they were up against a greater opposition. They didn't know that God was going to allow them to defeat the Israelites because of Israel's sin. They would have never been able to stand before the Ark of God. No. I never remember this number. 186,000 men died by one angel when Sennacherib came from Babylon and said, we wiped out city after city and God after God. Who is your God that he's going to save you from us? I defy your God. And Hezekiah laid that before the Lord. See now what he says, Lord. See now what he says. And it is the truth. They've wiped out city after city. And their gods were wiped out because they are no God. But thou art the living and the true God. Save us, Lord. The next day, all the men were dead. Sennacherib went back to his town and his sons murdered him. His life was done because it was God's will to do it that way. It was God's will to save Israel. But this time Israel is not going to be saved from the power of the Philistines because there's this ticking clock. And the timetable's coming up. And the time for Hophni and Phinehas to leave this earth has come. And they go out there and they march with the Ark of the Covenant and they're wiped out. They're slain, just like that. Who else died in that battle? Remember, the servant came back and told Eli what happened, how the Ark of the Covenant was taken. Hophni and Phinehas are dead. Eli then hears that the Ark of the Covenant was taken, and he fell over backwards and broke his neck and perished the same day. Would that cause a tingling in your ears? Yeah. That's what happened. That's the curse. We'll call it. On their life was that they were going to be cut off. Hophni and Phinehas. That the house of Eli was going to be cut off forever. Where they had privilege before, now they lost it. Because Eli did not respect the offering of God and allowed his sons to do what they did. The cause? Eli restrained them, meaning his sons, not. That was the cause. So you could say, yes, it was Hophni and Phinehas that did this evil, but God came back to Eli because he was their father. You didn't restrain them. You heard about it. You heard reports about your sons. And you didn't stop it. You didn't put an end to it. You let it continue on. That doesn't mean Eli said, oh, I've heard some bad reports about you. You shouldn't do that. Yeah, Eli said that, but he didn't put a stop to it. It's a difference between saying something and acting and using your position that you have as a power and an influence to stop evil. And Eli did not restrain them. What kind of situation are you in? As fathers, as a father, I speak to fathers. We have a responsibility to restrain. If we see our children doing evil, we need to put a stop to it. We need to sit them down and talk to them, saying, this is evil. You will not do this anymore in my household. It's not allowed. It's against the Lord. It's against my rules. We have to put our foot down. We have to say, this will not happen here, because this is not right. Go lie down on your bed. I'll set the timer for 15 minutes. And then after that 15 minutes, we'll talk. And I wait for repentance and say, Dad, I'm sorry. I realize I wasn't doing the right thing. And that I wasn't honoring God in what I was doing, what I said, what I did. I forgive you. I say, I forgive you. Don't do that anymore. There's a lot of other things that you can do that are right. Remember, you are a Christian. You need to behave like a Christian. You need to deal with the unpopularity of a Christian among your friends. Are you willing to take the ridicule and the suffering that goes along with being a Christian? It's there. Will you pray for a friend that will be a friend that will stay with you even in the crowd? I was talking to one of my children yesterday about how when I was growing up, I was always the brunt of the joke. I was always the one that was ridiculed, always. It seemed like that. I probably wasn't always the one. But if there was one friend, we would do all right. But if there were two friends, they would gang together and they would tease me. It seems like it always happened that way. And I said to my child, You understand why this is happening. It's because you're a Christian and you won't do all the things that they want to do. And so now they're going to put pressure on you and they're going to tease you and try to bring you into line. That's called peer pressure. It's the wrong kind of pressure. The pressure on the street is the wrong kind of pressure. There is good kind of pressure that you can receive from people, but it's usually not found on the street. What you need to do is pray for a friend who has convictions, another Christian friend who is willing to stick with you through thick and thin. And we talked about this over the dinner table. And this child, we had our devotional time yesterday on the story of Jesus calming the wind and the waves. And how that storm came up, boom, just like that. And they cried out to the Lord. And they were astonished when the Lord got up and calmed the winds and the waves. They marveled and they were also full of fear. Who is this that's able to calm the wind and the waves? And I says, that's what the Lord can do in your life. When the storm comes up, you can cry out to Him. Cry out to Him. Lord, we perish. That may not be a physical thing. It might be your enemies, as it talks about in Psalm 18, which we all went through. Also went, I will call upon the name of the Lord, and He shall save me from my enemies. And so this child then related to me, you know, Dad, when they started to tease me, I remembered that I was in trouble and I cried out to God. And because I was feeling very bad and depressed and left out. And as soon as I prayed that prayer, the Lord just lifted me up. And I all of a sudden, a smile was on my face. And He said, hey! And he realized that God had undergirded him for that time. And I says, that's wonderful. You're able to apply. What if Hophni and Phinehas could have learned how to do that? What if Eli could have learned how to do that? Cry out to the Lord. Because these things are real things in our lives. We are living in the time of Hophni and Phinehas. We are living in the time of immorality. We are living in the time when the church has a greater divorce rate than the world. We are living in this time. Is the clock ticking on the United States? The Lord knows. What's the solution? Cry out to the Lord. Cry out to the Lord. Say, Lord, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, I will hear them from heaven. I will forgive them. I will heal their land. That's what we need. We need to avoid this. There's no special thing written in heaven that the United States is going to go on. The reason that the United States has been picked out as such a wonderful country. Stop, I'm getting the stop sign. I'm just getting started. Thank you. Is because we had people that feared the Lord that started this country. If we now begin to stop doing that and not restrain ourselves in our ways as the church, we can't control what they do out there, but we can control what we do in here. And God will hold the church accountable for our culture. Let's quickly wrap this up. So we have the cause, and then we have the tingling. The saying, oops, that's supposed to go up here. The saying is, when I begin, I will also make an end. I will also make an end. What God is saying, what I'm going to do with Hophni and Phinehas is going to happen very fast. It'll begin and it will end like that. It's not going to be long and drawn out. That's the saying. And that's what happened, isn't it? The suddenness. That's the point that I just pointed out. There was a suddenness to God's judgment here. He could have done it a whole bunch of different ways, but this is what he said. And he was going to show them that he could do it in one day. And then the sure word of God. We can depend upon God's word. It's what we must depend upon. Everything else is fluctuating. Everything else is sinking sand, as it says. We stand on the rock of God and we stand upon His word. That's our only hope. That's always been our only hope. That will always be our only hope. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, thank You for this lesson. It's all about Your timetable, Lord. It's about Your word and us keeping it. Help us to be like Samuel, who honored Thy word and who would not allow one of Your words to drop to the ground, and that he esteemed Thee greatly and restrained at every point he could those that would not be restrained in his lifetime. Help us to be that way in our time. Bless us, Lord, today in Thy service, we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.